Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio, where we bring you information about Minnesota's National Guard, the military community, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon Program, and Department of Veterans Affairs. Your host is Tom Lyons, founder and owner of Phalon Partners Limited, a Twin Cities merger and acquisition advisory firm. Tom is also a Vietnam veteran of the United States Air Force and a member of the VFW and American Legion. Now, here's Tom Lyons.
Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. On today's show, we look back at the legacy left by our veterans 1 year after the end of the Iraq War, witness the Tri-West presentation, and learn what our Minnesota Naval Reserve sailors are doing in Japan. But first, it's time for Generally Speaking, a weekly message from the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General Rick Nash.
Right now, more than 120 soldiers from the 257th Military Police Company of the Minnesota National Guard are serving in Afghanistan. They are coaching, teaching, and mentoring soldiers in the Afghan National Army on staff procedures, understanding and applying doctrine, and assisting in training plan development. These soldiers come from 73 communities across Minnesota and three communities in Iowa. While the average age of the company is 28 years old, the youngest soldier is 19 and the oldest is 51. This is the first deployment for 84 of our soldiers, the second for 35, and the third deployment of 14 of them. They may be gone during this holiday season, but they are not forgotten. This summer, shortly after their departure, members of the American Legion of Elk River and the Minnesota National Guard brainstormed a way to thank these soldiers for serving in a big way. The idea they ended up with is the biggest thank you card in the world. The card is 16 feet high and 48 feet long. It was unveiled during Military Appreciation Day at the Minnesota State Fair, and the frenzy to get 257,000 signatures on it began. Since then, the thank you card has traveled to sporting games and community events, collecting thank you messages from Minnesota for the troops. Organizers have even applied to be in the Guinness Book of World Records. But the best part of the whole project will be when the 257th MP Company returns early next summer, and the world's biggest thank you card is there at their welcome home celebration. Thank you for listening. Today's veterans are talented, team-oriented, and technologically savvy. Help good business get better by hiring today's veteran.
Thank you, General Nash. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Joining me now from the Minnesota National Guard is the Chief of Staff for the 34th Infantry Division Red Bulls, Colonel Eric Kerska. Colonel Kerska, welcome back from Kuwait. It's good to see you in the studio again.
It's good to be back, Tom.
Colonel, just so our listeners catch up with you, you've been on the show several times, but can you tell us a little bit about your career with the Minnesota National Guard? How long have you been doing this?
Well, I've been in the Army, including the National Guard, 29 years, almost 30 years now. I enlisted in the Minnesota Guard and went on and right out of high school in 1983, and went off and spent 7 years in the Army after college, but then came back to the Minnesota Guard, been with the Minnesota Guard ever since.
And while you were in the Minnesota Guard, you also worked for the Rochester Fire Department.
Yeah, started with the Rochester Fire Department in 1994. It's a great place to work. I made the best choice of my life choosing that as a career.
And despite the fact that you've been on three deployments, they welcome you back every time.
They take really good care of me. The City of Rochester and the Fire Department's been very good to both myself and, more importantly, my family. When I'm away, you know, I never have to worry about my family being taken care of. If something goes wrong, within a couple of minutes, there's a firefighter or two there taking care of whatever needs to be fixed.
We've talked about that over and over on the show, that when our soldiers and airmen are deployed, it's important to know that your family's well taken care of back here so that you can focus on the mission.
That's key. Without that, it makes it very difficult. If you can't focus on the challenges in front of you, life and death challenges in front of you, it's very important.
Could be pretty dangerous. Colonel, I see on your resume that you've had several deployments to that area of the world, Iraq, Kuwait, back there, and the first one was 1991?
Yes, I've been over there three times. Sometimes I lament that I get to go back to the same place all the time, but I guess it has its advantages. I get kind of familiar with it.
Looking back on your career, I know that you just got back with the 34th Infantry Division's 1st Brigade Combat Team on a wonderful deployment that we'll get to in a little bit, but seems like most of your career set you up to command the 1st Brigade on that mission.
My career served me well, getting me ready for that job. I, you know, been in heavy units most of my life. was in Germany at the time Saddam invaded Kuwait back in 91, and I deployed with a tank battalion in southern Iraq. The second deployment, I spent most of my time in southern Iraq. And this last deployment, I spent most of my time in southern Iraq. So got a little bit of time there.
Pretty familiar with where you were going, and really set you up, because part of your missions on this last deployment was escorting our troops out of Iraq.
Correct.
So you knew where you were going and what you needed to do.
Right, pretty familiar territory.
Colonel, we've had you on the show a few times before you left, and fortunate enough to come over and visit you in Kuwait, which was a fascinating trip for me. But we've talked before on those shows that the train-up before you went was a critical part of this deployment, wasn't it?
It was, and the training program that was designed, you know, by the division, by the state, by First Army, myself and my team, it couldn't have been better. We were fortunate enough to have a little bit of foresight, a lot of experience, maybe a little bit of luck to have trained on all the right things, and it worked out perfectly for us.
We visited you when you were, I think your soldiers were out on the range up in Camp Ripley. We visited you up there July about a year ago. Camp Ripley, what a fantastic facility. It allows you to do a lot of training close to home, doesn't it?
It's got everything we need, and we were really able to hone those machine gun skills, which is one of our highest priorities, and made some really, really competent machine gun crews.
So you did a lot of training up there, and then you went over to Camp McCoy or Fort McCoy?
Fort McCoy was our mobilization station. We spent just short of 60 days there, which is a pretty short period for a full brigade combat team. We got out of there with flying colors. Minnesota prepared us well. We had, you know, a fraction of a percent were sent home with medical reasons because they were all identified here before we left. We were able to show up with a team that was all the individual tasks were done here in Minnesota before we left, so we could go right to what we call collective training, the team training. And so we concentrated on those higher level tasks as soon as we hit Fort McCoy, which really allowed us to hit the ground running, you know, when we got overseas.
And you were training at Fort McCoy with the United States Army?
Correct.
So that was the actual test to make sure that you're up to snuff and readiness, and then off to Kuwait you went.
Correct. First, the United States Army, that's their job, is to get the reserve component out the door.
We're speaking with Colonel Eric Kurska from the Minnesota National Guard on Minnesota Military Radio. Colonel, I know that we came over and visited you. You had about 2,700 1st Brigade Combat Team soldiers. What all is involved in taking that many troops and that much equipment and moving them halfway around the world and making sure they're well taken care of? Big job.
The key is to have leaders at all levels do their jobs, because it's a big animal. We had 2,700 soldiers from Minnesota, and then three battalions from Oklahoma, Mississippi, and Tennessee were added to us, bringing our total to 4,100 soldiers.
And you were spread out among how many camps over in Kuwait?
Five camps in Kuwait.
And we saw Camp Arifjan, and we were down to Camp Virginia where we did the show, which, by the way, we'll talk about that a little bit later, but that Live from Kuwait show, Minnesota Military Radio recently won an award for. So thanks to you and your officers, it was a pretty good story, and it was a great trip. Thanks for welcoming us and taking care of us over there.
We had a good time that day.
So you got over to Kuwait with all your troops, and you shipped over some equipment, and you fell in on the equipment from the from another guard unit from another state?
Previous, from New Hampshire. We replaced an artillery brigade from New Hampshire. We fell on their equipment. We brought some of our stuff, but very little overall. Fell on all their trucks, a big fleet. You know, over 1,000 vehicles. And before long, we started with two battalions operating in Iraq, and then we raised that to four battalions operating in Iraq, which was a big undertaking, getting all the soldiers on the road.
And the deployment, sir, how many days did that end up being for most of the brigade?
I guess I've never added up, but just short of a year. It was, you know, a little over 11 months.
A little over 11 months. Colonel, we've got to take a short break. When we come back, I'd like to talk about the mission on the deployment and your soldiers and how you've prepared them to go and how you've taken care of them since they've gotten back. So we're speaking with Colonel Eric Kurska from the Minnesota National Guard on Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. We've been speaking to Colonel Eric Kurska, presently Chief of Staff, 34th Infantry Division, Minnesota National Guard. And, Colonel, we've been talking about your recent deployment to Kuwait, where you were the commander of the 1st Brigade Combat Team. And I know that we've talked about this before, but in addition to training for the mission, You put your soldiers and their families through some training for deployment and some reintegration training when they come back. How did all that work for your soldiers? Did it help them focus on the mission and make sure the families were taken care of?
Well, every year, I think we've gotten better and better on preparing soldiers and their families for deployment, for combat, and for coming home. And one of the latest additions, and it's been going on for a number of years, but it was new for me on this deployment, was the family prep academies before we deployed. That was really beneficial to get everybody in the right mindset. Instead of reacting at the end, fixing problems, try to get ahead of them. So not only the family prep academies, but then we got home, you know, went through the 30, 60, 90 day reintegration events. It's tough coming home from being a year away. I mean, life has gone on. Families have changed. We have changed. It's hard to get back to normal. And those reintegration events went a long ways towards minimizing, you know, the stress of coming home.
So they help your soldiers, but they also help the families and get back together and get into the new routine and get back to being a civilian part.
Which I think is probably just as important as taking care of the soldiers, getting the families, because families need to understand what's going on with us.
Now, Colonel, can you tell us a little bit about the mission? You were over there to help the drawdown of troops from Iraq.
Well, our primary mission was to get the troops out of Iraq, to end the war in Iraq. And we had five major missions going on simultaneously. We had to manage the five bases in Kuwait, which, you know, doesn't sound real exciting, but try to imagine running a large city with a population of 200,000, and we're running everything. We're feeding them, we're housing them, we're entertaining them, we're keeping them safe. We're providing fire protection, the whole works. It was a big job. We provided all the security for the soldiers flowing in and out into and out of Afghanistan and Iraq, as well as the soldiers leaving Iraq for good. We had to provide regional reaction forces for the entire Gulf region, not just Kuwait and Iraq, which entailed some deployments to some other foreign countries. We worked with foreign armies, the Kuwaiti Army, the Kuwait National Guard, Bahrain, UAE, etc., to try to establish a better cooperation with them and to help them with their training. And we learned from them also. Soldiers got a kick out of living with Middle Eastern soldiers and training with them, eating their food, living in their quarters. And then convoy security, of course, gets most of the attention because it was a big deal. It was the president's goal to get everybody out by Christmas. And it was our job to escort the soldiers and equipment out of Iraq. And so we put on 3 million miles. Picture 12 soldiers and four trucks taking off down a dark highway in Iraq and being gone for 2 weeks and loading up supplies and escorting them back. The violence was much lower than it was in 06 and 07, but it still was a dangerous place. We were attacked numerous times. We had five vehicles destroyed by the enemy, but all of our soldiers walked away virtually uninjured. There were some injuries, but nothing major. And that was because the soldiers were doing what they were supposed to be doing. They were doing everything right. And we had a great counter IED program, which allowed us to survive in that environment with the roadside bombs. Very proud of the work of this brigade.
And Colonel, you've told me that all the training and preparation for the deployment really worked. You were up to speed right away.
It was. The Army called upon us late notice. They needed more escorts to get everything out of Iraq in time. And we had to double the number of soldiers in Iraq with a two-week notice. And that's not an easy feat. And the soldiers responded to that. The Army gave us the extra trucks, and within 2 weeks, we doubled the amount of escorts on the roads.
We're speaking with Colonel Eric Kurska from the Minnesota National Guard on Minnesota Military Radio. Colonel, I understand you were on the last convoy.
I was. Red Bulls, we crossed the border into Kuwait at just after dawn, 0703 hours in the morning on the 18th of December. And there was 30 regular Army soldiers behind me. They were escorting Geraldo. We cleared the road for them. And it was quite a feeling to pass into Kuwait and know that everybody had survived that.
And we're coming up on the one-year anniversary. Can you believe it's been a year since you got everyone out of Iraq?
Time goes fast.
Colonel, we just got a few minutes left. I know one of the things that you were working on hard was making sure that when your soldiers came back that they had employment, they had a place to go to work, and you had quite a large number of soldiers that were looking for jobs. What did you do, and how did it work?
Back in November of 2011, we had done a poll inside the brigade to find out how many unemployed we had, and it was reported back that 28% of the brigade was unemployed. So we quickly got to work. General Nash came over to visit. General Nash and I discussed, you know, some things that we could do. Inside the brigade, we had lots of HR-type people that had written resumes, people that sat on interview panels. So we paired these people up with our unemployed soldiers and got to work, made them write a resume, did hundreds and thousands of mock interviews. And then General Nash, along with Governor Dayton, put together a team and sent them to Kuwait. As far as I know, the first time that's been done. The Army didn't really know how to react to that corporate America from Minnesota was coming over. And so they sent representatives from the Minnesota Department of Employment Economic Development, Minnesota State College and Universities, Minnesota Department of Veteran Affairs, Best Buy Corporation, U.S. Bank, Target, the St. Paul Chamber of Commerce all came over. And so the soldiers showed up with the resumes that we'd written, and now these experts took over and refined that process. We got back 30-60-90, that training continued. And all those pieces and parts put together we're down to 6% unemployment in the brigade less than a year later. So 28% down to 6%. It's phenomenal achievement. And we couldn't have done it without the outpouring of support from the state government, the Minnesota Guard, and the corporate America and citizens of Minnesota.
So not only the mission that you were in charge of over there, you were helping your soldiers when they come back home to make sure that they could not only reintegrate, but get civilian employment and get back to work.
Having a job is probably the single greatest thing needed for a successful reintegration.
Keep them busy.
Yes.
All right, sir. By any measure, from where I sit, and I'm a civilian, sure looks like it was a successful deployment.
General Brooks, his team loved us. The RSENT CS Command Sergeant Major told me when we were leaving, he said, "Sir, we're going to miss the Red Bulls. I can spot a Red Bull from three blocks away."
Your go-to team.
Yes, we were.
It's great to hear that our Minnesota Red Bulls were so valued over there in the war zone. Colonel, we just got about 30 seconds left. Any final thoughts for our listeners?
Well, just the people of Minnesota should be proud of their citizen soldiers. Minnesota is truly blessed with a great National Guard, dedicated soldiers. I've been blessed to be a Minnesota Guardsman for almost three decades. I've had a satisfying career, and, you know, I guess it's probably getting close to an end for me, but I'll always be proud to be a Red Bull.
Colonel, it's certainly a joy to have you back in the United States and have all your soldiers home safely, and I want to thank you for coming in to see us today.
Thank you, Tom.
This is Colonel Eric Kerska, currently the Chief of Staff of 34th Infantry Division Red Bulls of the Minnesota National Guard. Now it's time for Hire Minnesota's Heroes. With an unemployment rate twice the average, Minnesota's veterans are facing an unemployment crisis. The good news is that you can help. Each week we'll feature one veteran story and ask you to help Hire Minnesota's Heroes. This week's veteran is Marine veteran Lee McCleary. Lee, welcome to the show. Can you tell us a little about yourself?
My name is Lee McCleary. Obviously, I was in the United States Marine Corps. I now reside in the Minnetonka area. I was a section leader in the USMC, and I had the opportunity and the honor of serving, managing 13 Marines before I got out. I recently finished my bachelor's degree in business from Metro State. I have extensive experience in sales and customer service, and I have a real passion for wanting to help veterans like myself and to get out there and advocate for that whole cause and the returning vets that are coming back home and getting out of the service.
Lee, the best of luck to you in your search.
Thank you.
Lee and hundreds of others are ready to work hard on the next mission. Can we hire Minnesota's heroes? To connect with Lee, contact the South Minneapolis Workforce Center at 612-821-4009. That's 612-821-4009. Or to learn more, visit positivelyminnesota.com/veterans. Coming up next on Minnesota Military Radio, we'll learn what our Navy Reserve sailors are doing in Japan. Please stay with us. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. In a moment, we're going to witness a Tri-West presentation and learn what our Minnesota Naval Reserve sailors are doing in Japan. But now it's time for the Commissioner's Corner, a weekly update from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Now here's Commissioner Larry Shelito.
Now you can take a glimpse into each of our Minnesota veterans' home by taking a virtual tour at minnesotaveteran.org. These panoramic tours offer a look inside each of our homes and gives you a feeling of what the home is like and all the great amenities they have to offer. Our five Minnesota veterans' homes stand alongside private sector leaders in providing the quality of life our veterans and their spouses deserve. Each of our facilities is a place veterans can call home. and I am confident you'll feel the same way after you take a tour. Visit MinnesotaVeteran.org.
Thank you, Commissioner Shalitow. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Joining me now is Don Brown, Vice President, Midwest Operations Area for TriWest Healthcare Alliance. Mr. Brown, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Well, thank you very much, and I appreciate the nice weather.
Sure, I understand you spent a few years in the military.
I did. I spent 34 years in a blue uniform, active duty, and I've had the privilege to continue to serve in this capacity for the last 9 years.
That'd be United States Air Force.
That would be the same service you served in, sir.
And I understand your son is in the military as well.
Yeah, and I'm very happy to talk about the fact that he's home from Afghanistan. His second tour got him home safely. I'm very proud of him for continuing to serve his country.
Now, Colonel Brown, can you tell us a little bit about TriWest, what it is and who you've serviced and for how many years?
I sure can. We're very proud of our company. TriWest Healthcare Alliance services the West region. We have the TRICARE West region, which is 21 states. For myself, in my role, I do 9 states, which includes Minnesota. And what we do is make sure, you've heard me say this more than once, that there's a lot of challenges in military service, and accessing your health care shouldn't be one of them.
So you're taking care of all of the military in 21 states with their TRICARE?
With their TRICARE, a lot of folks refer to that as insurance. It is not as a benefit program. The government's contract is for us to administer that, again, in the 21 states, and that is for active duty, guard, reserve, and their families.
And just what kind of benefits have you provided and who is eligible?
Well, if you're in a uniform and you're defending your country, you're eligible. If you've done that in the past, you're eligible. There are some rules when you move over into the VA system, but for the most part, within these 21 states, the eligible beneficiaries come to us. There isn't a doctor everywhere. We've got about 170,000 physicians on contract throughout those 21 states. And if you need something beyond the military treatment facilities, and here in Minnesota, of course, you have a limited number of military installations, if any. And so we play a vital part in making sure those physicians are available to them and their families.
Sir, I understand you were in town this week to talk to the Minnesota National Guard about some changes.
Well, we are. It's a bit bittersweet in that we've had a great relationship with the National Guard. We understand the load that the Guard is carrying for the war effort, and we understand the specific challenges for the Guard in that they live out in middle America. They don't necessarily live next to an installation. And back in March, the government made the decision to award the TRICARE contract, which is a 5-year contract, to United Healthcare. So after 16 years of the privilege of serving, these great warriors and their families will be stepping aside in March, and we'll do everything we can until the lights go off to make sure that is done with class and professionalism.
Yeah, Colonel Brown, I imagine that transition is going to be a pretty serious one. It's pretty important. I hope it's being handled properly.
Well, we'll certainly do everything we can to make sure that it's handed off properly. At the center of that is the beneficiary. It's not a win or a lose anymore. It is making sure that the patient and their health care is there's some continuity there for them as they move into the new contract.
And, sir, if the participants have questions about the changes, where can they find some information?
Well, you can certainly go to TriWest.com, and there's a Q&A session there. You can also call our 800 number, which is listed clearly on that website. We also will be and are sending out communications, both electronic, in every media that you can think of, to try to inform people of what's happening. And the incoming contractor, United Healthcare, will be doing the same on their end. They have the same desire for this to go well. And so watch for news near you.
Sir, I'm glad there's a veteran handling the transition, making sure we're taking care of our troops.
Well, thank you. I know you served as well.
We're speaking with Don Brown, Vice President, Midwest Operations Area for TriWest Healthcare Alliance on Minnesota Military Radio. Also joining us today is Bill Popp, Chairman of the Board of the Minnesota Military Family Foundation. Mr. Popp, welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Sir Thomas.
Bill, for our listeners that might not know, can you tell us briefly what's the mission of the Minnesota Military Family Foundation?
We collect money from those who want to say thank you to military families, and we distribute the money to military families that are experiencing a financial crisis.
And what types of things do you pay for?
Oh, we've paid for furnaces, for a lot of car repairs, for travel, major appliances, for all kinds of different emergencies that happen around the house that affect the good and safe operation of the military family.
And Mr. Pop, you've been at that since 2004?
Yes.
And a lot of grants and quite a bit of money to help
we're
Minnesota
over
military
like
families.
1,100 grants in the years, and very, very excited and very appreciative, and want to say a shout out to all the people who have contributed to the Minnesota Military Family Foundation over the years. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
And Colonel Brown, I know that another part of the reason you're in town today was to make a presentation to the Minnesota Military Family Foundation.
Yes, and we talked earlier the fact that I think it's a testimony to the character of our company. We have what's called a holiday giving program each year about this time. We know that there's extra stresses on military families, so we look for organizations that do the very thing Mr. Pop was talking about. And I'm pleased to announce that our board met and felt that despite the fact that the contract is up in March, this was a worthwhile program. We know it goes to a good cause. It goes to 1% of our nation that is making everything else possible. So with that said, again this year, and I think this is probably our fourth or fifth year in a row, our company will be providing a contribution of $10,000 to their organization, and we hope it in some way. It's a small gesture compared to the sacrifices that they're doing. But we hope it'll help during the stressful moments, especially during the holidays.
Oh, it absolutely does help. And on behalf of the thousands of military families, thank you, thank you, thank you. For years, you have been very, very supportive. And again, I don't know how to say thank you, but we're certainly trying. And a great shout out to you and your organization for the years of service.
You bet. I can't think of a better part of our population that deserves it more, I should say. And all we have to do is find an avenue like your organization to get that delivered. We do this, as I mentioned earlier, in all 21 states for in the West region, and as I mentioned, in my 9 states. So I've been with 9 adjutant generals who have selected folks just like you, and your organization pointed those out and saying, these are the folks that help us the most. This is who I would recommend, and that's how we end up here visiting you.
Well, thank you very much, Don, and thank you, General Nash, for recommending us.
Mr. Pop, another great relationship with the corporate business America.
Yes, this is spectacular, and this is a demonstration of just how important the 1% of our population is. That's that percent that has chosen to serve our country by enlisting in the military.
Colonel Brown, we're just about out of time. Any final thoughts for our listeners about the transition?
Well, on behalf of Dave McIntyre, our CEO, and all the other executives and folks that work for TriWest, it has been a great privilege over 16 years. Having come out of the blue suit in 2004 and to step right into a job where I'm right next to the uniforms and continue to serve, I was a healthcare guy in the military, and so this fit very well. But I can't thank our nation's defenders enough for what they're doing. My son and my son-in-law continue to serve. I wish them well. I wish them a safe holiday.
Colonel, thank you for your service, and thank you for your contribution, and thanks for stopping by to visit us today.
Thank you, thank you, thank you.
That was Bill Pop from the Minnesota Military Family Foundation and Don Brown, Vice President, Midwest Operations Area for TriWest Healthcare Alliance. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. Joining me now is Navy Captain Richard Henderson. Captain, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Good afternoon and good morning for me the next day from Japan. How are you, Tom?
I'm doing great, sir. Last time you were on the show, you were part of Minnesota's Emergency Preparedness Liaison, and now you have a new command.
Yes, I was very fortunate to roll from the job as a NEPLO and to take over the headquarters unit for U.S. Naval Forces Japan. And they are headquartered at the Navy Op Support Center in Minneapolis, Minnesota.
So, sir, we have sailors here in Minnesota that are working with Japan?
Yes. The Prairie Navy in Minnesota has a long history of augmenting Japan for operations support, augmenting the CNFJ command in Japan.
And, sir, you you and some of your sailors are deployed to Japan now. What's that deployment about?
Yes, when the North Koreans announced their intentions in the media to fire a rocket, you know, that's obviously a sensitive issue over here. It increases the tensions and the requirements for CNFJ. And so at that point, we come over to Japan to help them and to augment their efforts. That's kind of what it all comes down to as a reserve unit, is to augment your active duty, your active component, at times that their demands increase. And so that's why we're here. But we always have unit sailors in Japan, and they're ongoing, providing augmentation support wherever we're needed.
So, sir, we've heard in the news that North Korea apparently has put a satellite in orbit. Have you been helping to monitor that situation?
Yes. We just helping to monitor. But, you know, there's an important mission over here to share information and to help build that partnership and that alliance with Japan, and to help one another and gain leverage from each other's strength. And so that's why we're over here, trying to help foster that sharing of information and what we all try to achieve in the military with unity of effort. And so we can take those goals and things we work for, and that helps them with issues like a rocket launch like this, where there's a lot there's a much greater demand now to monitor what's going on. So we have sailors from Minnesota in various locations throughout Japan. There's 7th Fleet, there's a carrier strike group, there's naval facilities throughout Japan, and there's also it's a joint world over here too, with the Air Force and the Army, and then of course with our Japanese counterparts.
We're speaking with Navy Captain Richard Henderson, Commander of Naval Forces Japan Reserve, on Minnesota Military Radio. Captain, can you share with us what type of capabilities do your Prairie Navy soldiers bring to the mission in Japan?
We have a good mix of officer to enlisted, and we'll do things like help man up operation centers. If there's a special project, they need a project personnel. Say there's a loss of, there's a gap in staffing. And then, of course, when there's real-world events, like what happened this week, that increase the need to be operating and increase the need on the main command, that we help fill in and man where we can support their mission. So it's a lot of working in throughout operation centers and performing as liaison officers and sharing that information. It's a good fit for the Navy, because all of us throughout our reserve career and when we were on active duty, we were operating in various capacities like this, and so we brought those skills into the reserves, and they translate over. With a little bit of time to spin up, every situation is different. But, usually within a day or so in a new operations environment, we're able to hit the deck plates running.
Captain, it sounds like you're getting some frequent flyer miles built up, but are you still involved in the emergency preparedness liaison officer?
Yes, I think right now I still have two jobs. So I'm still the NEPLO for Minnesota, and I can't stress what an important role that is right now in emergency preparedness with the defense support from civil authorities. But we have a saying, once a NEPLO, always a NEPLO. So all that's something we're all working with in the Department of Defense. And then, that trip to Japan, the surprise trip to Japan did get my frequent flyer mileage status back. So something good came out of it.
Sir, can you tell us how else Minnesota sailors are serving?
The Navy Op Support Center in Minnesota is the one reserve facility in Minnesota and has about 750 sailors. And we serve in a wide capacity of combat cargo. There's a amphib construction battalion, another mobile construction battalion. There's some various operation support units that go to various commands throughout the world, similar to the CNFJ headquarters unit that I have. There's also cutting-edge Navy work going on at NOS with the littoral ship, the new littoral ship that's coming online. There's a unit that supports that. And our, of course, our Marine brothers in arms and sisters in arms, they have an air headquarters unit, a very large air headquarters unit based out of the Minneapolis facility. So there's a good diversity of Prairie Navy. And the CNFJ headquarters unit is the largest unit out of that NOSC.
Captain, I'd like to thank you for taking the time to call into the show all the way from Japan. We'll have to have you on the show soon so we can talk about this new command in a little more depth.
Thank you for the opportunity for me to share information about CNFJ and our support work in Japan. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. That was Navy Captain Richard Henderson, Commander Naval Forces Japan Reserve. Joining me now is the Senior Enlisted Advisor to the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Command Sergeant Major Cindy Kahlberg. Sergeant Major, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thanks, Tom. It's great to be here.
I understand you were at Fort McCoy in Wisconsin last week visiting a Master Resiliency Trainer course. Can you tell us exactly what that is, ma'am?
Absolutely, Tom. You know, in our efforts in the Minnesota National Guard to increase resilience in our service members, we've actually sent quite a few soldiers to this Master Resilience Trainer course. Last week, in fact, we had about 6 soldiers there at Fort McCoy when I was there. A Master Resilience Trainer is really a soldier who's been trained to train others in resilience-based life skills. You know, I spent a couple of days observing the course and getting a good idea of just what our soldiers are learning in the course. That way we can ensure we're using these trained Master Resilience Trainers to maximum benefit of our service members and their units.
What kind of things are your soldiers learning at the Master Resilience Trainer course?
You know, Tom, the course really revolves around the Comprehensive Soldier Fitness Program, and that focuses on the physical and the mental and spiritual and even emotional health and resilience. The students learn how to employ things like values and action, and they get practice in what's called hunting the good stuff, which is basically looking for the good in your life. They focus on building optimism and self-awareness and even identifying their character strengths. The whole purpose of the Master Resilience Trainer course is to train these soldiers to be trainers of this material back at their own units.
Sergeant Major, after these soldiers graduate from the training and become their unit's Master Resilience Trainer, how are they being used to promote comprehensive fitness and well-being within the units?
You know, those people are able to accomplish face-to-face resilience training, and that teaches other soldiers how to persist in the face of challenges and even bounce back from adversity. You know, not only do our trained Master Resilience Trainers brief their units annually on comprehensive soldier fitness, but we also use them before and after mobilizations and even at reintegration events to train soldiers and their families, too, in resilience.
Sergeant Major, what's the goal of having these trainers in each unit of the Minnesota National Guard?
You know, Tom, we believe that these skills are really going to enhance our soldiers' ability to handle adversity, hopefully even prevent depression and anxiety, and enhance their overall well-being and performance. Building mental toughness and strengthening the relationships, those are really focused areas of the program. And these are skills that are going to help our soldiers not only in their military careers, but hopefully in their lives as a whole. And we're really excited about nurturing these skill sets in our service members.
Sounds fascinating, and just another wonderful job that the Minnesota National Guard is doing to help their soldiers. Sergeant Major, thanks for joining us today on Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you.
That was the Senior Enlisted Advisor to the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Command Sergeant Major Cindy Kahlberg. We're just about out of time. If you have a mailbag question or a suggestion for a topic you'd like us to address, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com and click on Contact Us to send us a note. Thanks for listening to this edition of Minnesota Military Radio. I'd like to thank our guests for joining us this week, Colonel Eric Kerska, Don Brown, Bill Popp, Navy Captain Richard Henderson, Command Sergeant Major Cindy Kahlberg, Commissioner Larry Sheliteau of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and finally, Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General Rick Nash. Please join us next week as we catch up with our state veterans service organizations to see how you can help during the holidays. That's coming up next weekend on this station or online anytime at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. I'm Tom Lyons, and I hope that you make a difference in someone's life this week.
You've been listening to Minnesota Military Radio with Tom Lyons. Tom is the founder and owner of Phalon Partners Limited, a Twin Cities merger and acquisition firm. This has been a production of Clear Channel, MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com, the Minnesota National Guard, BeyondTheYellowRibbon.org, and the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Podcasts of the show are available at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com.